Cape Talk DIY.
It's a great pleasure to welcome back to the studio Handy Mac, Don McAllister. You know him from his household advice DIY column in the Independent Home segment of the Saturday Argus, and of course from his regular appearances on this show. Don, great to have you with us again.
Always great to be here, Pippa. Hi.
And a reminder that Don has a very, very long track record in the building industry. He is a past president of the Master Builders Association, the Architect and Surveyors Institute, and the Waterproofing Association. So this is your day to call in with absolutely any question, whether you are struggling with a building or alteration issue, if you're needing advice on the right tools for a job you want to tackle at home, or if you have a question about water saving. He's passionate about that as well. Get dialing now on 021-446-0567. Leave a voice note on 072-567-1567 or send an SMS to 31567. Now, Don, your column last weekend made me smile because my kids are begging for a dog and we've got wooden floors. So I was interested to see your advice on flooring options for homeowners who have pets. You are struggling with this yourself in your own home, aren't you?
Not really. I mean, we've gone through dogs for 40 odd years now, and one kind of floor finish works for one type of dog and not for another one.
Okay.
Obviously, the little ones that run fast tend to turn wooden floors into skating rinks, whereas the bigger slow plodders are okay. Mm-hmm. We all like to feel soft carpets under our feet, but carpets under your feet don't necessarily work for dogs, especially as they get older and start having little accidents. So it's a case of trying to find the right match for the right breed.
Is there anything that can be done for a wooden floor after the pet claws have scratched it up a bit?
Yes and no. Again, it depends on the flooring. You know, you get timber flooring that goes from 1,000 rand a square meter down to cheap laminates to 200 rand a square meter, and they all react differently. Again, your problem with a timber floor laminate is if you've had a little bit of a dog wee there, it's going to start seeping in the joints, which is another problem of timber floors and dogs, unfortunately.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that. So you might be able to clean it up off the top of the floor, but if it's sunk down into the joints, is there anything that can be done to remove the odor at least?
No, bicarb of soda is probably one of the better ones to use, but there's lots of doggy sprays around now.
Okay, if anybody has advice to share who has this problem, perhaps you are the owner of an elderly dog that has the occasional accident and you found a remedy that's really good for removing the odor from floors, I'd love it if you shared that advice with us. Concrete and pets, I mean, you would think on paper that there would be a fairly practical solution. Any concerns around a concrete floor?
Not really, no. They're usually hard-wearing, and if you've got a good sealer on top of them, they work well. They're not warm, and they're not always attractive. Different people for different folks for different strokes. It depends how you like your house to look.
Yeah, okay. So again, consider that if you are thinking of investing in a pet or if you are thinking of redoing your floors, keep the pet damage in mind and let us know what has worked for you in the past. Moving away from the pets, Don, the first question already in on the SMS line is to do with staining wood. And it's somebody who's got an old set of wooden side tables with natural wood stains. Sorry, they want to update the wooden side table with natural wood stains. Apologies, I misread that. Where do you start? Have you ever done a project like that yourself?
Not really, but you've got to start by sanding it down, removing everything that's on there, and then you've got all your different finishes through satin stains, through chalky-type paints now, turning your beautiful antique white, which some people like to do. I personally don't, but Woodock sell a whole lot of good products. There's 101 products out there, and the tip always is to go and buy your product from a shop that only does that. It's no good going into a general dealer and trying to buy something that you want to put on nice timber.
Really? Mm. Okay. Well, because the product is going to be too all-purpose and not specialized enough.
You know, I would never go and buy paint at Pick and Pay, for example. Sorry, Pick and Pay, but, you know, I go to a paint shop or whatever.
Yeah.
There are specialists, and there's a lot of people out there that specialize in restoring antiques, and if people can look at one of my websites, we'll find something there. And a lot of the old people, it's proud to share what they did in the old days. There's still French polishers out there and things like that, and they're really great guys.
And the craftsmanship is there, so make use of it. Yeah. So the person sent a follow-up saying it's very dark wood. I don't know if the question is, can it be done? But yes, it can. I know, because we've got a set of old, it was almost black. I don't know if it was, it wasn't in Boya. It was nothing that expensive, but very, very dark wood that we antiqued with a white antique paint finish. And it came out beautifully. Yeah. So it certainly can be done. And send us a photo when you're finished. Thanks so much for the SMS.
You can also lighten dark wood with, I think it's oxalic acid. I think that's the name, but even vinegar and things will lift the colour.
Okay, thanks. Well, good luck to you. Right, Steve saying, I've installed vinyl floor planks, 1000% waterproof, installed by floor coverings in Paarl, and no turning back. I'm assuming that's for the doggy problem. So vinyl floor planks.
Mrs. McAllister is busy getting quotes at the moment for vinyl floor planks.
a good choice, Steve. Thank you.
It's one of the in-floor finishes. You've just got to make sure that you've got a perfectly level floor to start with and that it's well laid and well secured.
Okay, so it must be perfectly level. What if it's not perfectly level? How do you make it so?
No, there's products out there. There's self-leveling screeds and all sorts of new mortars and epoxy products that will get your floor to where it needs to be.
Okay. Thank you to somebody on the WhatsApp saying, Pong Gon from Sanitary works amazingly for odors on any surface, and it's fully natural and organic. Pong Gon. Thank you very much for the tip from Sanitary. Okay, the next one is a waterproofing question. Anthea on the WhatsApp line would like to know if you have any suggestions for rainwater collection on thatched roofs with no gutters. It's a tough one. No gutters to direct it into a water tank.
I'm trying to think what we can do there. You need to put something that the water will drip onto. I mean, if you go to a lot of old houses, I'm really thinking off the cuff here now, is that you see chains hanging down to act as downpipes. So usually that is in a gutter, but I'm just kind of thinking if you hung the chain underneath the edge of the thatch initially, and then it might just run down a vertical chain.
And drip into your collection. Collectible.
But you can fit gutters to anything if you really want to go that deep into it, because under your thatch you've got gun poles and you could attach something onto that. So you could, in theory, mount a gutter.
So you could mount a gutter underneath the thatch, effectively. That might be, it's a hidden away surface at least. And so, I wonder if that's something you'd consider. Thanks for your WhatsApp. Okay, I think we're going to go to the lines for our first call, and it's going back to the issue of the pet odors. Have we got Malcolm in Durbanville? Yes, we do. Malcolm, welcome to the show.
Papa, hi there. Sort of listening to the gentleman discussing odor problems and what have you.
Yes.
I market for a big company to the large industry, the food industry, wine, and also on a large scale to container, where they have the problem with taint. They call the odor taint.
Yes.
And we have a natural product. Likewise, it's a cleaner and a sanitizer, and it removes all the problems that you're talking about here. And in my own capacity now, I am supplying in smaller quantities. In other words, my supplier only supplies in large quantities to the industry. So if anybody was interested, they can gladly get hold of me. They can email me.
Okay, what's the email address, Malcolm?
It's Malcolm, M-A-L-C-O-L-M, at EDS Solutions, with an S at the end, so it's edssolutions.co.za.
And what's the product called, Malcolm?
It's called Hummingbird.
Hummingbird. Okay, so if anybody's interested, they can drop you an email, inquire about Hummingbird.
As I say, I will decant into smaller quantities for whoever needs,
Okay, Malcolm, as a matter of interest, how long is the sort of effectiveness of the product? Do you have to use it very, very often or not so regularly?
No. I mean, once you've used it, the odor, what it basically does is that the citrus extract and the essential oils actually suffocate the germ. So in other words, they can't mutate again if you were using a sanitizer. So the germ is actually killed, so there is no repeat of that same germ. So as in a container, if you had a container that was shipping fish that went off, for instance, once it's sanitized, that's permanent until it gets used or tainted again. So it's not something that's going to be able to repeat itself. It's a permanent situation.
Malcolm, thanks. Very interesting. And everybody, it was Malcolm at edssolutions.co.za if you're interested in finding out more. Don, have you ever found products like that have worked for you long term?
There's lots and lots of them out there, and more natural products coming onto the market. I mean, tea tree oil seems to take smells out of all sorts of things. But just get back to your dog odors more than anything else, and I only found this out the other day. Different dogs react differently to different things. Our two Scotties apparently are renowned for not smelling nicely.
Oh, really?
And also, it depends how you live. We've got a lot of hard surfaces around our house. We don't have a lot of grass. So if the dogs were outside on the bricks and then go and lie on it, it's not as effective as grass. So always have nice grass patches for your dogs and try and encourage them to use it.
Just a small one during the drought, but a little bit of grass. Okay. Okay, thank you. Right, let's go back to water piping. Lisa in Newlands on the WhatsApp line says, we've got copper pipes that run into a water fountain and we have blue staining on the fountain walls. Do you have any idea how we can remove those stains?
Copper staining, again, vinegar might help, but you've got to find out why the copper is turning blue. I've got a horrible feeling that they might be using borehole water now, and if your pH level isn't right, then your copper pipes take a bit of a beating. I was with a client the other day, and I said, have you seen your pipe since you've put your borehole water running through your house? And they were horrified. I mean, it's fine to use borehole water, but you've got to get the pH right. So I'd suggest to this lady that she first checks the pH of the water that's going in to make sure that it's acceptable. And I think it needs to be over about 7.5.
Okay, and then you said vinegar to try get rid of the stains that are already there. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you. Somebody reminding us, we did an interview a couple of months ago, it might even be more than a year ago, about effective microbes, which are very good for removing odors. So that is something worth Googling if you're interested as well. Thank you for the reminder on that one. All right, let's go to Leonard, who's dropped us an email. And Leonard says, I've got an awkward cramped space alongside our kitchen sink, which just won't fit any standard drip racks for our dishes. I have been living with a homemade wooden fix, but it's getting very rotted and dark and damp now. Any suggestions on a better material to use when making a replacement?
Drip racks are another very interesting subject. I don't think there's one manufacturer in the world that makes a tray to take your dishes that actually fits into a sink bowl.
They're
always balanced on the corner, or too big or too small, or
and hanging over the edge of where the sink fits into the wooden platform. I know it's one of my bugbears as well. But okay, if you are going to make your own, Leonard, we've got a very similar setup. In fact, my husband made ours out of wood, so I'm interested to hear what would be a good replacement.
Well, I love wood. I mean, if you're going to make it yourself, it's probably the easiest thing to work with, especially because you can use round dowels and you can actually make it look rather attractive. Mm. I don't think anybody's going to want to start welding up their own dish rack. I'd stick with timber, but just coat it well and make sure you keep it dry when you're finished every time.
That's easiest. So you need to actually take it outside to dry out in between drippings. The problem with that, Don, is that implies that somebody is taking the dishes out of the drip wrap and putting them away into the cupboard. We know that doesn't happen so often. Sorry.
My wife would not agree with you. She says I'm very well trained.
Okay, well, you've obviously been well trained, yeah. Okay. Robin, thank you for your WhatsApp saying Marlin's wash and get off spray works very well for removing pet odors. You can get it at most pet shops and at Pick and Pay. Marlin's wash and get off spray. Thank you very much. Appreciate the suggestion there, Robin. We're taking your calls for Handy Mac on 021-446-0567 and your voice notes on 072-567-1567. Winter, we are going to do a whole show on winterproofing the home next month, Don, but I know it is something you've been writing about the last couple of weeks in your column as well, in terms of getting ready for the rain. You always tell us it's a good time of year to be checking your gutters and downpipes and removing debris and leaves that have accumulated there. In fact, we've already had our first substantial rain, so I hope you did that beforehand. Anything else remind us that we should be doing?
No, look, I mean, the gutters is always the first thing, and you know, I also have a roofing company, and the amount of calls we get, you fix my roof, now it's leaking, and you go out there and you find a dead pigeon, seriously, or
really?
The kid's tennis ball or something, and the downpipe's blocked and the water's built up behind it and it overflows and so on and so forth. So first of all, go out and get your gutters cleaned out. But not only your gutters, the valleys, that's where your two roofs meet, with an internal angle as distinct from a hip, which is an external angle, and make sure there's nothing blocking those. They're also one of the first places to rust on a roof, so you need to have your valleys checked, make sure there's no pinholes in them. But you know, stand back from your roof and have a look at the lines of the roof, see if you can pick up any sags or if everything's relatively level. And the other thing is you can't just fix a roof. People go up there and they put all sorts of products onto it. Mm-hmm. A roof and any type of roof covering is designed for water to run off it and down. The minute you try and fix a crack by putting something on top of the crack, the water builds up behind and you stop the natural way that the roof is supposed to work. Mm. Other thing to be careful is, especially now the southeast is gone, but that southeast has been blowing trees against your roof. If you've got trees next to the house, it's damaged your gutters, it's knocked things off, it's loosened roof tiles or slates or whatever. So it's very important you get up and check that. And again, this time of the year, you're going to have leaks and you're going to phone your insurance company and they're going to say, no, you haven't maintained your roof.
And your claim is not going to be entertained.
So it's very, very important that you maintain your roof. If you've got intersections that are waterproofed with a fabric or something and you haven't maintained it, 9 times out of 10, you're not going to get your insurance claim. They might pay for the internal damage, but they're not going to fix something that you should have maintained yourself externally.
Okay, that's a very, very important warning there from Don. What about flat roofs, Don? I know that they're notorious for being problematic when it comes to leaks. Any particular care or observation needed there?
Once it's on, it's on. Again, don't paint things over it. Don't cut little bits of the roof out and put something else in. The minute you put two surfaces together, it rusts underneath. We, or Mrs. McAllister, stopped looking at new houses years ago because I just took one look and said, I'm not going to live in a flat roof house.
Okay.
But two things on that. A roof sheet can only be fixed one way. You have to lap it into the weather. Mm-hmm. If you lap it the wrong way, the rain blows up under the lips on the sheet. And also, there are so many different products for different roof pitches. You can't put a corrugated iron profile on a pitch that's below probably 5 or 6 degrees. It's not going to work. It can't cope. You need to use an IBR sheet or a clip lock system or something like that. So, and, you know, if you're doing a new house or an extension, don't just let your builder put the roof on. A roof needs to be put on by a roofing contractor.
I was just going to say, it sounds like this is the one job that you really need to hire a specialist for.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, thanks for that advice. I believe we've got a voice note. Let's take a listen to that.
Yeah, just a solution for the wooden drip tray that the guy said he made. He can use a clear epoxy to coat it, and then you don't get damaged.
Does that sound like a wise idea?
That's
to
a very
you,
good Tom? Idea. That's what I was saying. Just make sure you use the right coating,
Okay, so a clear epoxy coating and you should be sorted out, Leonard. I hope that works for you. We were talking about level surfaces. Neville is wanting to know about level surfaces in the garden because he is intending to lay some pavers in the garden and wants to just be aware if there's anything he needs to be mindful of apart from the fact that he knows the surface needs to be level underneath them.
Okay, Neville, we say?
Neville, yeah.
Now, if you're going to do it yourself, you need to start right down underneath the bricks, underneath the plastic, and underneath the sand, which I hope you're going to put down. It's no good laying brick paving over roots that might grow again or anything else, so you need to make sure that you thoroughly get rid of any nasties, weeds, or anything underneath. Then put down a plastic sheet, a PVC, or a damp-proof course, anything to stop weeds that might come back growing through it. In the old days, we actually used to put weed killer down before we put the plastic. Then your plastic sheet, then a nice layer of sand, probably 50 millimeters if you can, and then bed your bricks in. And yes, they need to be level, but they also need to have a fall, and the fall needs to take water away from the sides of your house or your foundations. It needs to run into an area also where it's going to be useful. You know, it's no good just having brick paving going into a stormwater drain because then it goes straight into the council sewer and out to sea, not the sewer, the stormwater drains. So if you are paving, try and design your paving in such a way that the runoff is going to be beneficial to your garden.
Okay, very, very good advice. One very quick last SMS from someone asking how to get rid of mold that has spread across the ceiling to the point that there are mushrooms growing through the cornice. We are replacing all the gutters on the outside of the house and the ceiling afterwards, but I don't want the mold to spread further.
The answer to that is very easy. Keep your windows open. Seriously, no. 9 times out of 10, the mold in a bathroom is caused because there isn't enough ventilation. I mean, you should really have a ceiling fan above your shower, but cross ventilation is the best way of killing mold. You can wash it off with Jik to start with. You do get paints now that are mold resistant to stop it coming back, but I'll guarantee you 9 times out of 10, it's because there isn't enough ventilation.
Thanks, as always, for the advice, Don. Great to have you with us again. I look forward to the next column next weekend.
Thank you so much. Thanks.
And you will find that column, by the way, in the home section, the independent home segment in the Saturday August.